Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Thank you, O'Neill. Dave Lee here on the Morning News. And Dr. Michael Osterholm, as you know, is the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy here at the University of Minnesota, one of the nationally known voices on what's happening with coronavirus, and he joins us here on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. Michael, how are you this morning?
Good morning, David. Thank you. I hope you're doing well, too.
Doing very well. I did want to ask you about this, though, because I saw this yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on this as we pass 3 million virus cases. Dr. Fauci, who you know well, cautions against what he calls the false narrative of a falling death rate, and that's the thing that a lot of people are talking about, Doctor. So your reaction to that?
Yeah, well, actually, quite happily, I can report that, in fact, the number of deaths had dropped somewhat precipitously over the course of the past 3 months. And we can attribute that to several things. First of all, we have gotten better treatment. At one point, 60 to 70% of the patients who were put on mechanical ventilators were dying. Today, in many locations, that number is down to 20 or 30%. And so as complicated as this disease is, and as we've talked about in past sessions here, we are getting better at treating it. The second thing, though, is that early on, many of the cases that were in intensive care units were older individuals with serious underlying health problems, which surely added to the reason why they were so seriously ill and dying. We've seen the pandemic really begin to change in terms of who now is infected. And it's a younger population, not as high at risk of having these serious outcomes. And so the death rate actually dropped for a number of people hospitalized. But that's changing. And that's what we've all been concerned about. And that's what Dr. Fauci is talking about. Is, for example, yesterday, after having watched the number of deaths drop from several thousand a day down to less than 500 a day, yesterday we recorded 1,195 deaths in this country, and the number is going back up. And what's happening is, even despite the better treatment, we're now beginning to see the spillover of these cases from the younger age population, where they're much more common, to those who still are older, who have underlying health problems, as well as serious illnesses in the younger population. While they're occurred less frequently, they still are very serious, and we can't emphasize that enough. This is not a benign disease for anyone.
Speaking of young people, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, their leader, Dr. Redfield, said they're encouraging all schools to reopen and have provided guidelines that include students and teachers wearing things like masks, spreading out desks, staggering schedules, eating meals in classrooms instead of the cafeteria, adding physical barriers between bathroom sinks. Do you think schools should fully reopen this fall, Doctor?
Well, two things with that one also. First of all, again, school reopening is going to in part depend on what's happening in the community. You know, if we have a house on fire, you know, a major forest fire of pandemic transmission going on in a community, it's going to be a lot harder to open schools just in terms of who's at risk of just trying to get to work, whether in many locations, public transportation, et cetera. So we've got to get the spread of this virus much better under control in many parts of this country before you can really think about opening schools in general. The second thing is, it's really all about the kids. The American Academy of Pediatrics came out this past week and said it's important to get these kids back to school because of what the learning experiences mean and what do we know about the risk of actually transmitting the virus within schools. which is at this point does not appear to be a significant challenge in terms of severe cases among these kids, and the fact that we're missing learning opportunities, which are really critical. Now, having said that, that's easy to talk about doing, but for example, you have faculty and staff, you have administrators who are older, who will have underlying health problems. How do we protect them? And so I think we're all trying right now to find the right answer here, with the idea that it's really important to get kids back to school. And number two is it's also important to make sure that the kids are the first and foremost thing in our protection list. And then we look at the faculty, staff, and those related to education and how we can do that.
Mike, the other question I would ask you as we head out here and let you get back to work, and I appreciate that. I know your time has been quite valuable lately. But again, here as we watch the number of recoveries, is that when we talk about recovery, is that someone who was diagnosed and was in the hospital, or is that anyone who's been diagnosed as positive? Do we know the specifics of recovery?
You know, we're learning a lot about this disease yet, and it's clear that individuals who are hospitalized do, in many cases, have long and somewhat treacherous days ahead in terms of ongoing illness. While it doesn't require hospitalization, it can be quite debilitating. And we're now only beginning to understand how much that also may carry over into those who had mild illnesses. One of the things I think that we're going to realize a year or two from now is that even a mild infection with this virus may very well end up causing you a lifetime of problems. We're seeing chest radiographs, the x-rays of people's lungs who are very, very mildly ill, but their lungs look horrible. And there may be some long-term damage that occurs there having been infected with this virus. And so, you know, this is not a virus you want to get, even if you are young and think, well, you know, I'm not at risk of having any serious illness. There may be much more to this than we realize. So, yeah, long term, we've got a lot of work to do to understand what this virus is doing.
Dr. Ostrom, have a great week. I look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Have a good one. Bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.